Welcome to The Hitch, week 5.
Hi.
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 It's three of us.
Three of us today.
Mm-hmm. Day 33.
33. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Triple three.
It's only two threes.
But then we're three people.
Oh.
You said we're three, and
you're
then
right.
It's day 33.
You're right. That was good.
See, that's why you're here. You're good.
You still have a brain.
Yeah, we don't.
Kinda.
We don't have brains anymore.
But we spent our brain power in the most awesome way.
We really did.
We went to
Meow Wolf.
We went to Meow Wolf.
We went to Meow Wolf. And we had the best time.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. If you don't know what it is, which is probably most of you, it's like this interactive art, independent art. It's crazy. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, that's right on the right track.
Yeah.
It's like a giant art installation.
It's like a giant playground of art.
Yeah.
Basically.
That,
and so they let you touch everything, and everything is incredibly, like, really interesting to look at. And they're like, you know, unlike a museum, you can touch everything, and there's a mystery to solve.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like the City Museum, which
yeah.
we went to way back on like day two of our trip, in that it is a sort of mind-blowing, overwhelming art thing that you
right.
get to travel through and crawl through and explore and discover and that sort of thing. But unlike the City Museum, which is sort of a artistic playground in a building, this is a story. Like,
mm-hmm.
it is all of that with a entire story
right.
overlaid on top of it.
Which was so fun. And I don't want to give away too much about the story, but it's super engaging, and there's
yeah.
clues all over the rooms that they've built.
Yeah.
And so, and it's really interesting too, because you can engage with it however you want. Like
yeah.
some people were just running around playing, you know, going down slides, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And then other people were like sitting at tables studying, you know, clues and things like that, and trying to figure out the story.
Yeah.
At one point, which was amazing, there was like a computer of like files
uh-huh.
about these characters, and this one guy comes over, starts also.
Well, you'd been at the computer
I'd been at the
for
computer
a
for a while, looking at like these crazy like JPEGs and like text documents, and like they just have all these papers laying around everywhere that go from like the most mundane things to the most like crazy, important things
yeah.
for the story, and like. There's this guy who comes over, starts looking through a file cabinet full of, like, hundreds of papers, and then just looks up and then asks me, like, the most specific question about one character and if the computer had anything on them when, at this certain time when they were doing something. And I was like, I don't know, man. There's so much on here.
Yeah, like, this is a place you have to go many, many times. You know,
yeah.
to figure everything out. But there are clues, like, everywhere. And once you start looking, the more you look, the more there is. And we were there for over 4 hours.
Yeah, 4.5,
yeah.
almost 5 hours.
So, I mean, I guess we should back up and say
yeah,
that,
a little bit about it.
Yeah, because we kind of just jumped
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it is a 200-person
yeah,
art collective in Santa Fe that a few years ago now, with the help of Game of Thrones author George R.R.
Yeah.
Martin, who bought a building for them.
Right. An old bowling alley.
An old bowling alley. They began to build out this 20,000 square foot art space.
Mm-hmm.
And it has become like a major tourist attraction.
Yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
It's a place that I heard about probably 3 or 4 years ago now, and have been trying to figure out
well,
how to get
here.
Well,
it's a big reason why we're here.
Absolutely.
You know, we're like, we have to go.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to go.
And it's Like, there are lines outside. You have to buy your tickets online.
I bought tickets. You buy, like, an entry time. I mean, you don't have to. You can show up and wait, but the lines are very long.
And the sun is very hot.
And the sun is very hot. And I highly recommend buying them ahead of time online. We didn't have to wait very long at all. And, it's amazing. So there's tons of artists creating different rooms that completely vary, like, in ways that are mind-blowing.
But it begins
with
walking into a house.
Yeah,
and
it begins
it's a
with
very normal-looking house. And you begin the dog. We brought the dog out. And the dog is, like, tying everyone up.
So we're all tangled up. Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But, you know, it starts with this, you know, very sort of nondescript Victorian-ish house that you walk in. It's at night.
Mm-hmm.
And at first glance, everything looks sort of normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone will suddenly walk out of the staircase.
Right.
Or open
the
fridge.
Refrigerator.
And suddenly you are basked in this bright white light emanating from inside the fridge.
So it's like this intricate maze where you can just go in places you normally obviously can't go. The four-year-old was like, I didn't know you could go through refrigerators. And I was like, normally that's not something you should do. But here it's cool. But also, you never know. Like, sometimes you'll open a kitchen cabinet and then there'll just be dishes in there.
Yeah.
And other times you'll open it and there'll be like a spaceship, you know, in there or something like that.
A thing that struck me about it and how it's amazing and must go is, like, you open up these cabinets and, like, crazy, like, aliens or whatever are in there. And then you look through the papers and it'll just be, like, a bunch of crazy stuff. But, like, also they did a good enough job making it feel like a real house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, at one point I was looking through a bunch of papers and there was, like, grocery lists and, like, receipts and, like, calendars and stuff like that are just, like... So it felt like a house that was real.
Yeah.
But then you'd... Like, when you're focusing, it felt like a house that was real, and then you'd look out, and it would just be, like, the most insane thing.
Well, and as you pass through these boring things, the fridge or a closet or something like that, you then move into these just incredible spaces that have been built by artists and are... overlapping and, you know, intertwined, and it's
but they're all very different from one another and have a different, you know, I don't want to say like theming, but there's something like one room we went into had, and the thing that I had to keep reminding myself, I'm so used to like working in museums and libraries and like being very careful not to touch things. You're moving that really far away.
The dog has suddenly tied the leash around her neck.
But I had to remind myself that I could actually touch things like along the wall. And this one room we went into was like this dark, almost like little closet space. And it had these lights that were in patterns that you had to figure out in order to like turn the lights on in the right way. And it was a puzzle. Like, it was this very cool puzzle. And at first, I didn't even know that because it was just like, oh, cool, a room with, like, flashing lights. But they were flashing until you got the puzzle right.
Right.
And we spent so much time in there. And
All
four of us. And even our little four-year-old, like, got two of them on his own, pretty much. And so there's just so many different ways to play. Like, it really was, like, the whole time I was walking around, I was like, this is such an amazing place to play for, like, everyone of all ages. We saw older people there, younger people. I mean, the only thing I would say is it wouldn't be good for someone with mobility issues, but I bet they make some accommodations.
I mean, there was a guy in a wheelchair,
and I saw him in a number of rooms, so I'm sure that they do have some accessible ways that you can venture about. And but there were definitely, you know, like hard to crawl places. It reminded me so much of the City Museum.
It was like, obviously, like, it'd be harder if you had mobility issues, but it was more accessible than the City Museum.
Yeah, that's
true.
I would agree.
like, obviously less than, like, a normal museum. But, like, there were, in a lot of places, there would be, like, a first level and then, like, a second level. And the second level might be harder to get to. But the first level is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's just my...
Things were so, like... I had read something that was, like, it's non-linear, you know, story unfolding. And that was so true because... You would go into a room and there would be multiple exits. It wasn't like there was one way to go through this.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about it is like you would go through and things were so disjointed that it was very easy to get lost and not know where you were and then like end up in a whole area where, I mean, not in a scary way, but just in a like, oh, okay, I thought I was going back to the kitchen and now I'm like in some place. I don't even know what it is. Like I'm in a school bus suddenly, you know, or something. So it was... But the whole time we were there, like everyone, there were tons and tons of people.
There were tons of people there.
Very crowded. But we were still able to move around, everything fine. But there were a lot of people. Like we had to wait a couple times to get into rooms, but it wasn't a big deal. But everyone was just filled with such joy.
Yeah.
Like it was such a playful, fun experience. And you could choose kind of the level you wanted to interact with it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was... what I thought was so brilliant, you know, like our 4-year-old had a blast, like going in, you know, into little spaces and seeing the lights and seeing the art. And he wasn't like engaged in the story that we were all engaged in, you know?
In fact, you two got deep into the lore at one point and me and the 4-year-old just took off and he climbed into the dryer and slid down a slide, which was a moment of fear for me because I was like, wait, they're off doing something else and I don't know if I can fit in this dryer.
And suddenly
that was my only option because I didn't know where the dryer led to.
I
couldn't like run around
the
building to find him. So I had to just fling myself down the dryer.
Right.
And thankfully he was listening to me when I was calling out like, don't go anywhere because I would have lost him fast.
Yeah.
But it was... It's funny, I feel like, you know, we had the City Museum at the beginning, which was almost impossible to describe on a podcast, and then we had Carlsbad Caverns, which was not...
This one's even harder.
Yeah, this one, it feels hard, in part because I don't want to give too much
away.
Well,
that's the thing, I already worry, like, did we say too much?
We didn't say anything that you wouldn't get from going on their website.
True.
That's true.
And going
that's
on the
true.
Like just looking at the like buy tickets page. Like we didn't do anything.
That's true. And we're not going to tell you all the things we discovered.
No.
Because me and the 14-year-old were you know, we were digging in deep.
Yeah.
We if we hadn't been so exhausted and everybody, we just needed to leave, our brains were turned to mush and we were physically exhausted, we would have stayed, I swear.
Yeah.
Like we basically, these two guys came in, we were in this like office part of the house on this computer like researching, and these two guys came in and they were like more fresh-faced and like all excited and the one was asking questions and like, you know, they were digging through stuff, and we basically were like, here, we're gonna hand over our research to you, look at this. And you know, obviously they're gonna look at their own stuff, but it was funny, it was like we had to tap out, we were like we're just spent. I mean, it's not, you can have like the most fun ever, which we did, but like it's definitely a place I want to return to.
And it's just a place that like you could go at opening time and stay until it closed and you would have like 100 unanswered questions just about the story. And like it's just so amazing, like still this is like being vague, but like there was a safe at one point that we found open.
Yeah.
But
what?
Someone
in the safe. In the
it was a small
area.
It was like a firebox.
It was open.
It was open, but
there wasn't anything in it. Right?
There was.
Oh, there was.
I took it out and I read it and then I told you about it and then I put it back.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been a long day.
But like, and then someone came over because and then had like closed it, and someone comes over and's like, oh, is like, how do we open this safe? And it turns out it was like some crazy code that someone had found and opened safe and then not closed it. And it did have some like important lore parts into it. So like you could just run around finding clues forever and not even uncover it. And it's amazing because like the City Museum, going back, because this is the most relate, like this is the closest I'm getting dive bombed by bugs. analogy is, like, the City Museum's kind of, like, an assortment of random things.
Uh-huh.
And Meow Wolf is, like, an assortment of things that have a reason to be there. Mm-hmm. But that's not clear. And that's what struck me. It was just, like, people had put so much work into it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, so much work.
I mean, that was really...
Yeah, so many layers to... It's like you could miss a clue. I'm sure we missed many of them. The more time we spent, the more we saw. But there's so much there. I mean, there's, like, all sorts of clues and letters and diaries and things you can look at. You can spend time just diving really deep into it.
Yeah.
Or you can spend no time with the story and just running around looking at stuff. I mean, that's the thing. It was so interesting visually, you know, and also intellectually and just, like, in so many... And physically, it was a physical exertion. So, like, that's the real reason we're so spent. It's, like, there was just so much going on.
Yeah. I mean, my feet hurt, but also, like, my brain is tired, you know?
I know.
I don't know. It just... You go on trips like this for experiences, mm-hmm. and experiences are, you know, often unexpected, you mm-hmm. know, and what was so interesting, this is like a thing that was built for this.
Right.
But man, it paid off, you know.
Oh.
There was so much that was rewarding in it. Mm-hmm. Like going back to that tiny little closet that we were all four in, all kind of hitting those buttons and figuring out the pattern, and we got it.
Mm-hmm.
We
got it.
We solved the puzzle.
We did.
And then, like, all four of us were just standing in the room, like, cheering as, like, the reward of winning the puzzle like, going off. And it was just, like, that was, like... That was such a memory, right on par
absolutely.
With, you know, walking down in Carlsbad or going
absolutely.
To the Civil Rights Museum or, you know, any other big things so far on this trip. Like, this was right up there with it.
Absolutely. And one thing that is so interesting, and the 14-year-old hit on it, was that this is also an experience you have with other people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just, like, rushing past them, but you're always interacting with other people there. They're, like, you know... the group of people, you know, the people that get caught up in the mystery, the story of it, like, start to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're reading something and you notice it, you overhear them talking, so you want to look at it too. Or you're reading something and someone comes up to ask you about it. Or, like, I had to move out of the way because this guy had to get into the filing cabinet that I was standing in front of. And then we started having a conversation about what I had discovered. So it's this kind of thing where there's also so much there that you definitely don't see at all. So, like, people start to kind of open up to other people to kind of share the knowledge. And it's a cool thing to experience.
Yeah.
Like, at the end, when we were just so spent and we kind of, like, handed our research over, it felt really cool.
Yeah.
Like, this is a community like thing we're doing.
Well, even just on the small scale, like, there were multiple rooms that we went into that we only knew were there because we saw someone come out of it or go into it. You know, like, you learn to navigate the place through other people.
There was a tiny corner that I didn't know was a door, and then someone came out of it, and I was like, ah!
That's right.
It was very scary.
Yeah, there's just, like, doors and passageways all over, similar to the City Museum where we would, like, see kids popping up out of holes. At one point, we saw, you know, someone coming out of what looked like the wall. And I was like, I didn't even know there was a space there. And some of the spaces do get pretty tight. There was a staircase that I was like, how is anyone getting through this? Am I getting through this? I pretty much almost got stuck in the dryer, but luckily I didn't. Anyway, it's a remarkable experience and, like, no other experience that I've ever had.
It was amazing.
It's definitely, like, I feel like every city has stuff that you, like, should do.
Yeah.
And they'll be called, like, must-dos in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like this is actually, like, if you're anywhere near New Mexico or, like, Texas or, I guess,
Colorado.
Southern California. Yeah. I don't know.
California is a bit away.
I don't know where things are.
Colorado's pretty cool.
Colorado, like, except they're getting their own.
They
are mad about that because Chicago should. It's like you have to go.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like we keep comparing it to City Museum, but it's like nothing like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
definitely well worth a trip, well worth the money.
It is.
It's well worth it. It's something we're going to think about for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And we even bought some stuff that we could continue our research.
Yeah, you all bought a lore pack.
Yeah. We did. We bought a lore pack. I'm like, we're about ready to get our conspiracy wall going and like get it all planned out, get it all mapped out.
Yeah, I bought a lore pack, so now I have to read like newspapers and magazines and diaries. Got to figure it all out.
Oh, it's so fun.
It's so good.
It's so fun.
But I am ready to collapse
I
now.
I am ready to collapse.
So let's go do that.
Let's do it.
And we'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Season 2 of The Hitch was recorded in the back of Evangeline, our 27-foot Airstream trailer, by Dan Sinker and Janice Dillard while living on the road for 64 days in the summer of 2019. You can see pictures from the road on Instagram at tincanevangeline, and you can email us at evangeline@thehitchpodcast.com. If you like The Hitch, please tell your friends about it, and also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll see you on the road.